Good to see you today. Again, we do appreciate your presence with us as we continue our study together. We'll begin this morning with an apology, after a word of prayer, and then we will turn to Ecclesiastes. We'll read one verse in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and then we go into the New Testament, and James and Ephesians in several places as we continue to study together. So bow with us in a word of prayer. Lord, again today, with thankful hearts, we come to you, thanking you, Lord, that you have given us an opportunity again to come to your house and open your precious word and worship together therein. And Lord, we know that without your presence and without the presence of the Holy Spirit, we will accomplish not one thing here today that will bring any glory and honor to your name. So we, Lord, we'd ask that you would take charge, that you would direct our thoughts and our understanding, and help us to speak truth from your precious word. And thus saith the Lord. Lord, I thank you for everyone who's present and all those who are listening in by the whatever means they might be listening today. Ask your blessings upon them. Ask your blessings upon this church, this body of believers, and us as individuals, and may we be a light in a dark world as you bless us to live from day to day. Again, Lord, we thank you for your saving grace, for opportunity to meet together. Remember again those who have special needs. And Lord, work it according to your will and mold us to your will. Bless now as we worship in fellowship together. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. You know, once in a while, the Lord has to get your attention. And last Sunday was one of those attention getters. And really, I apologize for last Sunday's lesson. One of the hardest Sundays I've had in a long, long time. I remember a few of those lessons. But I believe the Lord has told me something in the process of this. You're trying to prove something yourself, and it's not for you to prove. It's for God's word to prove. And what you need to do is just read God's word and let the Holy Spirit work with the individual, and you get yourself out of the picture. And I was trying to get too much of self and not enough of the Lord in it. So this morning, we're going to be scripture. We're going to take it and say, thus saith the Lord. And I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will direct my speech and my thoughts and my understanding this morning. And then he will open your hearts to accept his precious word. So with that said, Ecclesiastes. We are talking about souls and soul sleep. But in Ecclesiastes, Brother Billy gave me this verse the other day. And we'll read this to you. We will probably come back to it a little bit later. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now you let that verse soak in a little bit. Body turns to dust, spirit to God. We want to address that as we go through our study together this morning. Now, we have already discussed what happens to our bodies, and there's an example right then. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. We talked about what gives life to this physical body. And when we breathe our last breath and have our last heartbeat, life is gone from the physical body. So let's look and see a few things about God, what God's Word says. As we're going to go to Ephesians, we're going to go to James. I told you to turn James 4th chapter last Sunday, but I was one verse off last Sunday. But let's look at this one verse. James chapter number 4, verse number 14. You don't have to turn there. We're going to read one verse if you want to, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 4th chapter. But he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then does what? And vanishes away. Talking about this body and this physical life that we have. Now, we have just read over in Ecclesiastes that it talks about this body that goes to dust. Then it talks about the spirit that goes to God. Now, it does not say saved or lost in that particular verse. So we want to try to do some clarity on that a little bit later. But go with me now to Ephesians, and let's begin to look at a few things here together. And what I'm interested in is what God's Word says about you and I as we live life's journey. So in Ephesians chapter number 4, and look at, if you will, with me at verse number 20. But ye now have not so learned Christ. Now who are we talking about that you're learning? It says you have not so learned Christ. Okay. If so be that ye have heard him, have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. So where are you going to get the truth? It's going to be in Jesus, and we're going to be taught, and we're going to learn of him, hear of him. He says, that ye put off concerning the former conversations, the what? The old man. The conversations, the way we live. Put off those conversations of the old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lusts. And then he says, now remember, we're talking about you've not learned Christ. Look at verse number 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If you've learned Christ, then you've learned what we're talking about here. That you've got an old man and you've got a new man. And there's going to be a battle. Now, he says that you put off your former conversations and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Of your mind. The spirit of your mind. I want you to think about that for just a moment. If I stand here and I, what told me to do that? Mine. So what tells you to do what you do? This mind that we've got. This mind that we've got in this physical body. This mind we've got in that old man. And this mind has got to be dealt with. The old nature of this man has got to be dealt with. And here it says, when we've learned Christ, that it also affects our mind. He says, you've not so learned Christ. Because if you've so learned Christ, and I've so learned Christ, then you're going to put off those conversations, those former conversations, those former things that we did when we were lost. And he says, what are you going to do? You're going to put on the new man, and that new man is going to do something. Verse number 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God, now notice the wording, is created. After God is created. When you and I got saved, a new individual came in us by the person of the Holy Spirit. And he says that new man that's come into us, that's been created in us by God, is a man that's what kind of man? He is a man of righteousness and holiness. And I looked at that and thought about it. And I think I'm going to give us a little example of that in just a moment. But I want you to turn over to Colossians now. And let's look at a verse or two there. Let's see, we need to go to Colossians, the third chapter, and look at it for just a moment. We have another example, new man and old man. Third chapter, verse number 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his what? So he says, now lie not one to another. That old man will make you lie. The old man will make you do some deeds you don't want to do. He says, now what we do now, we say we put off that old man and have put on the what? The new man, which is renewed in what? In knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? Look at it, mind. He said we put on the mind. We just read where we want to put on the mind of Christ. We don't obtain the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of Christ that the new man has. And he says, you're renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we are now, we want to be obedient to the new man that's in us. And there's a dog fight going on. And I, about the best way I knew to demonstrate that is, and I'm not getting political on you, we've got Democrats and Republicans sitting down in a big room in Congress, and they can't agree on not one thing in the world. Nothing. Fussing and fighting all the time. And that's exactly what goes on with you and I, with the old man and the new man. Only difference is when we look at Congress, ain't neither one of them got any sense. But in here, as we look at Scripture, it says that new man is a man of what? Righteousness and holiness, and has the mind of God in him. So we know which man is the right man to follow. The problem is being obedient to the new man in the fight with the old man. We've still got that old human nature in it, in us, and it's going to be there until the day we breathe our last breath. And there's always going to be a fight. If you're saved this morning, there's going to be a fight with the old man and the new man. Now, the best way to have that new man to win over is to do what you're doing today. Come to church and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Every day read God's Word. Every day pray and ask the Lord to help you through that day, that you might serve Him and live for Him, and that you might be able to put the old man down and let the new man rise. And without that, you're not going to make it. In Galatians chapter number 4. I'm not trying to prove anything to you. I'm going to let Scripture and the Holy Spirit do the work. Chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into what? Your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Now, I know things have changed in the society we live in today, so I'm going to go back to when I was being raised. I didn't call Daddy. I called him Daddy. I didn't call him Father. I got a Heavenly Father, and I call him Father, and I call my earthly father Daddy. I was his son. Did he want what was best for me? Sure he did. I had a mother and daddy were tremendous parents. Couldn't have been better. Couldn't have been more blessed. And they wanted what was best for me. But if I didn't listen to Daddy, there was a price that was going to be paid. And it won't like it is now. Every young one, before they're 1 year old, ought to know how to count to 4 or 5. Daddy had a tone in his voice. And if it ever come to the point, he says, son, I had pushed that line in the sand as far as I better push it. Because the next time he spoke to me, it won't be with his voice. It would be with one of them little switches. I'd gone over there to a tree somewhere and he had made me get it and strip it down and hand it to him. And there was consequences. And I don't think it warped my mind. I think it helped my mind. Now, we've got a Heavenly Father that can get our attention. Believe you me, He can. And He is our Heavenly Father. And it is our responsibility to serve Him. Now, we're talking about our souls. Now, notice this sixth verse in this chapter number 4. What does it say that's in our hearts? The Spirit of His Son. Well, who is the Spirit of His Son? Holy Spirit, right? Okay. So it's abiding within us, okay? Keep that thought in mind. He says, I will what? Never leave you and never forsake you. So that Spirit, when you and I accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, comes into us. It's the thing that has drawn us to Christ. It's the thing that has shown us that we're on our way to an eternal hell unless we turn to the Lord through Christ, ask forgiveness for our sin, and we're saved by His marvelous grace. And that Spirit comes in, and that Spirit is never going to leave you. It's never going to leave me. And that Spirit is the thing that's going to deliver me to God Almighty and to Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at a few things concerning this body that we live in now. When it breathes its last breath and death comes, then what? So go with me now to Philippians, and let me read verse 2 for you in Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Go toward Revelation. You'll get there. We want to go to the first chapter, and we're going to go to the 21st verse. Now, I'm going to inject something here. Philippians, first chapter, 21st verse. You can believe whatever you want to about soul sleep. I said that I'd been trying to prove something to you, and it got me in trouble. So I'm going to let Scripture do it. So you just listen to the Scripture. Let the Holy Spirit work in you, in your heart, in your mind. And then you talk to the Lord about it. And you and the Lord agree on this thing. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 21. For me to live is what? Is Christ. We know Paul loved his Lord, served him tremendously well. And he said, for me to live is Christ, and I'm going to do what I have been doing. I'm going to stand for Christ as long as I breathe. But he says, to die is what? Is gain. To live is Christ, so if I live, I'm going to serve Christ. That's the way we ought to be every day. Serve Him. And every day know that if we die, then it's gain for us. They said it's gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yea, what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a straight twixt two, having a desire to do what? To depart. I've got a desire internally in me. There is a tremendous desire to depart. I can relate to that. This is Mother's Day. Mother of my children's in heaven. I've got a big desire to go see her. He said, I've got a desire to depart and to be with who? With Christ. Now I want you to look at these words real careful. I've got a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Which is what? Far better. Are you looking forward to going home and being with the Lord? Is that a desire of your heart this morning to go be with Him? Do you know without question this morning if you die, you'll be better off than you were? And the only thing that can make that difference is Christ and your relationship with Him. He said, I have a desire. Now, if I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, They're going to put my body in the ground. Then what is it that must depart the body and be with Christ? So now we look at the soul, the spirit part of it. If you look in Psalms alone, just take the book of Psalms, and you look at the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, there's 133 verses, I think, in the book of Psalms that relates to the soul. You might want to look at some of those sometime. So I look at the desire to depart, and I think about it wouldn't be much fun to latch on the dirt until the rapture, would it? That wouldn't be much of a desire. But when it says to be with Christ, that's what makes that desire. Last breath here, first breath there. I have a desire to be with Christ, which is, he didn't say better, he says what better? Far better. Okay? Now let's go back to Luke for just a moment. We're going to read some things we've read before. Go back to Luke chapter number 23. And we look at verse number 43. Now here we're looking at the malefactor and we're looking at Calvary. One on the right and one on the left. On the right says, Lord, do what? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What was the response of Christ to his request? The response of Christ to his request is in verse number 43. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, Luke 23rd chapter and 43rd verse, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Today. Now, how was this malefactor killed? We've got three crosses. How did they kill Christ? Nailed him to a cross, didn't they? How did they kill the two malefactors? They nailed him to a cross. In God's plan, Christ's body is not going to stay on that cross. He's going to be taken down that afternoon and put in the tomb before Sabbath. What do you think about this man that's just requested Christ to remember him? What do you think happened to his body? Ever thought about that? A lot of times they'd let the bodies stay on the cross until they decayed. They'd let them rot on the cross. Let people walk by and look at them. If you misbehave in this country you live in, that's what you'll get. Probably would deter crime a little bit. All we do now is slap them on the hand and say, go back home, behave yourself. So I'll grant you that Christ said today you'll be in paradise, that his body was still hanging on the cross. So what was he talking about was going to be with him? His soul is going to be with Christ that day. So it didn't stay with the body on the cross, did it? Let's look at another thing here. You're in Luke, back up to 16. It's not what I say, it's what the scripture says. In chapter number 16, verse number 22, we've talked about this one. And it says, it came to pass that the beggar died. You remember this beggar that was at the rich man's gate, desiring the crumbs from his table, and the dogs come and licked his sores. He died. What happened to him when he died? It said he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, what do you think was carried to Abraham's bosom? What do you think happened to his body? He's an old beggar man. Nobody cares anything about. Don't have any idea where he has any family, anything or not. They probably took him outside the city and threw him where they... put the bodies of those who didn't have anybody to look after. So what went and what stayed? His old body stayed, but his soul went to Abraham's bosom. You say, well, you're looking at some Old Testament stuff. Well, no, this is New Testament. Well, let's look at another one. I want you to go with me over to Acts chapter number 7. I don't have my clock up by this morning. I can't keep up. Ooh, I'm in trouble. Of course, y'all knew that when I started, didn't you? In Acts chapter number 7, I think is as good a one as we can find. If I say Stephen in Acts chapter number 7, do you know who I'm talking about? First martyr, right? So let's back up and look at 51. I'll try to do this quick. I got about 5 minutes. This is what Stephen said to him. He said, "Ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart, and ears ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you ye." Resist the Holy Ghost, and that gets you in trouble. Verse number 54. When they heard these things, they were cut in the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But, look at the but. But he being full of the what? Holy Spirit. And he did what? He looked. Which way did he look? He looked up. And he looked up steadfast into where? Into heaven. Now this is going a little bit beyond what we see if we walk out and look at a night sky. We're in the daytime here, and he looks up, and it says he looks all the way where? He looks into heaven, and when he looked into heaven, what did he see? He saw something. He saw the glory of God, number one, and then he saw Jesus standing in his right hand. He's standing in the right hand of God. Now, this is when they're killing Stephen. And this is what he's seeing. And said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Would you think that was a pretty good view? You know, I think when we take our last breath, we're going to see something too. And he said, "And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses lay down the clothes of the young man's feet, whose name was Saul," which is what we know now as Paul. Now look at verse number 29 as we close the key verse. "And they stoned Stephen doing what? Calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Don't say anything about body, does it? He breathes his last breath. Soul, spirit leaves and goes where? To the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I see in God's word the absent from the body and present with the Lord. I thought I'd finish today, not quite. I need to address it one more Sunday. God bless you, and thank you for being with us in the Sunday school hour today.